In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Question 393. When is our sorrow supreme? It is supreme when we hate sin above every other evil, and are willing to endure any suffering rather than offend God in the future by sin. Death rather than sin. And that was actually said by St. Dominic Savio, a young, very young boy. I think he died at age 12, and was willing to do anything except sin. And supreme sin is not, like the boy to the right, I'll try to keep out of sin, meaning if it's not too hard. This means that we know sin is the greatest, the supreme evil in the world, and we would do anything to keep out of it. To be sorry for having offended God, then, is a high, it's an excellent motivation. But to hate sin above all evils and to do anything to stay out of sin is the greatest of all these motivations. That is the kind of motivation that saints have. Now, if you've started to read anything about the lives of saints, or have begun one even, you'll quickly come across the fact that they do seemingly some pretty crazy things in order to avoid sin. For example, I'm thinking of St. Catherine of Siena. She wore what was called a slave chain in those days, 15th century saint. And this is a small metal chain that was wound very, very tight around her stomach and fastened tightly, so tight that it dug into the skin. But once she got used to it, she would tear it all out to the point where it would bleed again and then put it back on again. And a normal person, a regular person maybe I should say, says, well, that's just crazy. Who would do such a thing? Now, people do some pretty crazy things when they're in love. When they want to win a marathon, they'll train and train and train and put their body through extraordinary deprivations and difficulties just to win that race. Well, that's how saints operate, because they want to gain heaven. And they despise sin so much that they are willing to punish their flesh, punish their thoughts, punish their mind, punish themselves in order not to sin, not to offend God. Such is the extent of their love for God. Question 394, when is our sorrow universal? It's universal when we are sorry for every mortal sin which we may have had the misfortune to commit. So there's a young girl there. Interesting analogy there with a washer machine, the waters of sorrow coming from the Sacred Heart. And the girl says, I'm going to put everything in, missing Mass, lying, quarreling, every sin that she's got, and drowning it in the precious blood. And this means we have to be sorry for at least all our mortal sins, if we have any. But what it is not is somebody deciding, well, I'm going to keep this one out. I'm not going to be sorry for missing Mass. Sort of holding her nose and saying, I don't like Mass. Well, if we don't wash all our dirty clothes of sin, then none of them will be clean. We have to be sorry for everything. We can't hold anything back, not from God. He sees it anyway. He's well aware of it. But the enemy is subtle. I'm speaking of the devil here, and he will tempt us to get rid of sins, but at the same time, just not that one, just not right now. And he will suggest, if he sees a soul trying to get rid of all its sins and making a good attempt to do so, and if he thinks, well, I'm not going to be able to stop all of this, then he will try something more subtle and say, well, there's that one, but you can always get rid of that later. In other words, it's a constant temptation to delay our conversion. But that's foolish, to delay our conversion, because we simply don't know how much time we've got. Question 395. The way to express this... Well, excuse me, let me read the question first. Should we always try to have sorrow for all our venial sins when receiving the sacrament of penance? And we should. That's true. And when we have only venial sins to confess, we must have sorrow for at least one of them or for some sin of our past life which we confess. So the way to express this, when Catholics go to confession, they simply add to the confession, I am sorry for all the sins of my past life. And that is always a good thing to say. And that gives what's called the matter, the because every sacrament has a matter and form. The matter, or the sins to be absolved, the form is what the priest says, I absolve you from your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so to have proper matter, then we should add that, I am sorry for all the sins of my past life. Question 396. Why should we have contrition for mortal sin? Well, that's simple, because it is the greatest of all evils. It gravely offends God, keeps us out of heaven, condemns us forever to hell. Unrepented mortal sin makes us fit for hell. Question 397. Why should we have contrition for venial sin? Well, because it is displeasing to God, merits temporal punishment, may lead to mortal sin. So even being sorry for venial sin is most necessary, because there are little sins that lead to bigger ones, aren't they? Aren't there? I mean, we have heard, there are people who want to deny this, usually pot smokers, but they say, well, smoking marijuana is not a gateway drug, because I don't use heroin or something like that. Well, it is a gateway drug for most people. It leads to other things. If I even allow my eyes to venture onto something that is impure briefly, well, it leads to a desire to see something more, see something even more impure. So if I'm trying to build up the virtue of chastity of my soul, and allow my eyes or imagination to wander around to what is unchaste, then that little act of will makes it easier to do another little act of infidelity, and so on. Sin has a certain momentum once it gets started. It can be hard to stop. Better not to start it.